So this is lesson number 17, and the title is Which Mind? Today is February the 7th, 2021. And what we've done over the last 3 or 4 weeks, let me back up a second. So just for those who may not have heard this before, we are studying the mind, our mind, M-I-N-D, in Scripture. It's a big subject. It's almost on every page of the Bible. So we will not even put a dent in the meaning. But this particular section we've been looking at for the last few weeks deal with a Greek word that comes in the book of Matthew 4 times and 1 time in the book of Luke. And it means, it is the words, O ye of little faith. Of little faith is the actual word. And so we went through those 4 different words for our own understanding. And the last one we did, which was the 4th one, is the word reasoning. The Lord questioned them about reasoning. Why do you reason in your minds or something to that effect? And then he says, O ye of little faith. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. And so we will just do a quick recap of last week. I'm going to read Matthew 16, 5 through 12. And then this week, as we started last week, to look at different occurrences of this word reasoning. What exactly does that mean in the Scriptures? Because the Lord talks to people who are doing a lot of reasoning in their minds. With others, and you think, well, isn't that what we're doing right now? This word that we're talking about, reasoning, is where we get our word dialogue, and that's exactly what we're doing. There's some level of that. But what I'm interested in, or what we're interested in, is the usage of it by the Lord in particular, and by the Scriptures. And we find that there's good reasoning, and there's a lot of bad reasoning in Scripture. And it makes all the world a difference if we can come to an understanding of that on how we even approach the Scriptures. So, if you would, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 5, and we'll read this passage of Scripture. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And so this particular event is immediately after the Lord fed 4,000, and that was within a few days of when he fed 5,000. I'm saying within a few days. I need to qualify that. I'm not for sure about the timing. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Luke in particular. There are some events that are not chronological necessarily. That's a whole different study, but. It also brings to our attention here that this has something to do with the previous occurrences right here, events here, which had to do with feeding 5,000, which really is at least 10,000 people. That's 5,000 men, and then there were women and children. So it could have been more than 10,000, and then 4,000 was immediately what this follows. And so they had forgotten to take bread. They came from a distance, and now they're looking back and they're thinking about it. And this is verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned, here's our word, they dialogued, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And by the way, the word leaven occurs 13 times. The Greek word for leaven occurs 13 times in Scripture. And what does our number 13 say to us? What does it tell us about, or in the Scriptures, and how it's used? It has to do with rebellion. So leaven is used in a negative sense in Scripture. Many things that you will find that Satan did or had something to do with is associated with the number 13, and it has to do with rebellion. So just keep that in the back of your mind. the Lord is trying to teach them a lesson here. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. So here's our word again for the fourth time in the book of Matthew. And that is the word reason. He calls them down on reasoning. Why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. So let's stop and think about that. If I was one of these disciples, and this may be more than just the 12, and I was following the Lord, I just witnessed feeding of almost 20,000 people in just a short period of time. And now I'm going to question the fact that, hey, I'm hungry and I need some bread. So this is what they're reasoning among themselves. This is what the Lord is concerned about here. And the reason we emphasize this is because we will see, we'll look at a few occurrences of this word, reason, and how it's used in Scripture, and we'll begin to see that, hey, it's a pretty important word to understand and protect, particularly in our own minds, and when it comes to reasons. It's also translated disputings, and I think just that by itself helps us understand what it could be in the negative sense. Because, let's face it, denominationalism brings on disputings. When you can take one simple subject in the Scriptures and go up against somebody else who doesn't believe the way you do, and both of you are probably going to walk away with black eyes and wishing never to talk to that person again in your life, over the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are not intended to be that way. The Scriptures speak of the Lord Christ Jesus. It speaks of the one whom this very word, this mind that we're talking about, is the one that we're interested in, which is in Philippians, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. This is the issue here when we think about the fact that they reasoned among themselves because they had taken no bread. It was time to eat, and now they're going to have to figure out what to do. And the Lord challenges them on once again, verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Here's one of the many words that are associated with the mind, understanding. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember? Another word that we need to put in the back of our head here is remembering is something that's important when it comes to the mind and how we are to use it today. To neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets he took up. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? You're worried about your stomach, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So one thing we're going to see with this word, notice they understood. There's the difference. When you reason, you better understand what you're reasoning about, or it's going to be wrong. And if you're reasoning with someone else, disputing with someone else, you have the same issue. So this is kind of the groundwork for what we're going to talk about this week. And so let's turn over to Mark. Let me just do one quick thing. Mark chapter 6 has a little bit extra information, shall we say. He speaks of this similar event, or these similar events, and this is his version. He's going to add a few things. Remember, when you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke in particular, the book of John occasionally is applied in this manner, that you are looking at different men, different thoughts, who have different thoughts, and you can see how the Lord protected his word, but he also allowed these men to write from their angle of view, so to speak, and he protected his word. And so if we go over to Mark chapter 6, I said, let me find it here, sorry. Mark chapter 6, and see if I wrote it down correctly. 52. Let's read these. So this is a similar occasion. They had come back. I believe this is right after the 4,000. This is right after the 5,000. The 4,000 came first. And it says, verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. So here the Lord saying, we're reading the same as we do in Matthew, except the Lord says it in this, or speaks of this, because that their heart was hardened. And what do we mean by hardened? Now wait a minute, we're talking about the disciples. We're talking about these are the ones who have heard the word of the Lord. They have heard him speak in parables, and they are the only ones that he has defined those, or interpreted those parables to. So, and then they've witnessed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miracles. And then, now they're worried about their stomach. And the Lord was trying to show them something. And so, so in this particular case, he says that their heart was hardened. And that's kind of difficult to grasp hold of. The mere fact that, that they had little faith, he says, is in itself an issue, because we can find where he takes Gentiles who are non-believers, in this same context of the scriptures, and he speaks of them of having a lot of faith, even though they were not of the called, the chosen ones of Israel. There were those that the Lord put up against these guys. And so, anyway, we read here that their heart was hardened. And that word means to be calloused. And I don't know if you've ever had a callous anywhere, probably on your foot or something. When I first got into the engineering business, most of my those early days and years and so forth were spent in hand drafting stuff. Of course, if anybody here is under the age of 40, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. You never considered the fact that you actually had to use a pencil. But not like today, where everything's done on a computer with software and so forth. But I built up a callus on one of my fingers right away. And, I mean, it was probably an eighth inch to a quarter inch thick. And I knew daily what was happening to me. And so over time, we can build up a callus against the scriptures. If we do not take these scriptures seriously, we can be put in this same manner here. So after all those things that they had seen, the Lord says that, and in another place he says it, I believe in Luke's account, he says something similar there too. So that's something to keep in mind as we look through these passages. I'm going to read, let's turn over to Acts chapter 19, and we're going to see there's some reasoning done over here and some hardening also, and this is in Paul's life. So as we look at the Acts, the things that occurred during the Acts period, we remember that this was after the Lord had died, he had ascended into heaven, and that there was a comforter there for these people. He was no longer there for them, but the comforter, which was the Holy Spirit, or the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's a study in itself. But let's just read this rather quickly here. Chapter 19 of the book of Acts. Make sure that I've got the right place. Okay. Look at the first 10 verses. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And we're reading from the King James Version. And of course, every time you see the word spirit, sometimes they place the word ghost. And of course, we think of ghosts, at least I go back to my childhood when we saw cartoons of a ghost and so forth. So I don't think the language here does us justice as to what's being spoken of here. You have received the Holy Spirit, that is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, since you believed. And if you don't think that that's what that word means, we'll see here in a minute that it tells us. And he said unto them, we have not so much as heard whether there was a Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So that was the one that was promised to them, the comforter. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. The giver, which is the Spirit, came on them, or that is, the gifts that he had for them. And what was the result? And then they spake with tongues and prophesied. So it was that gift from the Holy Spirit to these people that we're speaking of here. They spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, and that's our word, reasoning, and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So here we have some good reasoning. This is when we are allowed to reason. Unlike what we read about the disciples, it says that they reasoned among themselves. They were not reasoning properly. They were not reasoning things of God. And here, Paul was. He says very plainly here, and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So this is where we see the word reasoning is a good thing. And when some of the people, okay, he's been there for 3 months, were hardened, here's our word, calloused, and believed not. Remember the words of the Lord to his disciple, to those he spoke, he says, O ye of little faith. So of course, I mean, faith and believing go together. And so here he says, they were hardened and they believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. So here's what Paul did. So here's what you do with disputings and reasonings that are wrong. They spake evil that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning, daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So this is some guy who had a school there, a Jewish school, and so he disputed there. His reasoning was there. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. 2 years there at Ephesus, and what did he do? They heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And that went out through all of Asia. And the reason I put a little emphasis on that is because when you go to the book of Colossians, you will read that Paul had not seen those people face to face. So the word spread, and, you know, we normally think of Paul, he's the superstar here who's spreading the word, but he's got there are those who are fellow laborers and so forth that passed this word on, and it spread throughout all of Asia at that time, what Asia was at that time. So anyway, that's just a little side note on this idea of reasoning and also the fact that there's something to do about it. I can speak on it. I remember a few years ago, came to the door. Not Mormons. Jehovah's Witness came to the door, yeah. And a guy had come to my house 2 or 3 times by himself, and I spoke to him shortly and told him I didn't have the time because I was busy. But I spoke for a bit as well. Well, one day he shows up with the number one guy from the temple there. And so I said, yeah, you're welcome to come in. I said, but I'm going to make something clear. So they walked in, they had a seat, and I said, I'm going to make something clear. I said, I don't believe that, give me a second here to remember what I did say. Okay, so I knew they were going to open up the book of Revelation because it speaks of 144,000. And I said that I do not believe that the church, which is his body, is the, give me, I'm having a lapse of memory. Okay, let me shake that off for a moment. I'll come back to it. I'll tell another story. Let's see if I can remember this story. This was 45 years ago, and I was at my mother-in-law's house, and a couple of guys came to the front door, knocked on the door, and this is when I was early in studying the scriptures, and I was extremely excited about it. And so I stood there and talked to them for a little bit, and probably about 10, 15 minutes later, my mother-in-law come up and whispered to me in my ear, she said, ask them about what the mystery is. So I did that, and that ended the conversation. That was it. They walked away and so forth. So I did this, and I think they were Mormons. And, no offense to anybody who looks at the scriptures and they themselves search the scriptures, and hopefully, as each of these people I've run into in my life, I always pray that they would search the scriptures to see what is true. But anyway, yeah, it's really bugging me here that I can't even remember what I started to say here about the other guys. But anyway, I told him that I did not believe that the church, which is his body, was spiritual Israel. That's a key word. And it took about 2 seconds for that guy to stand up, kind of slapped his knee, and said, okay, we're leaving. And that was the end of that one. So anyway, I bypassed some reasonings and whatever, like, because you can spend a lot of time trying to convince somebody of something. And I think we ourselves, even amongst ourselves, we have to be careful that we don't allow certain things in Scripture bother us so much that we forget all about what the fruit of the Spirit is, and the fruit of the flesh will rear its ugly head and often win battles that we don't want to be part of. So anyway, that has to do, what we just read there in Acts chapter 19, has to do with the hardening of hearts, and also the reasoning and how Paul handled the reasoning. So let's go back to Isaiah 18. We read this, I'm sorry, chapter 1. We read this last week briefly. As we were closing and time was running out, we didn't really get into this. I'll just speak to this for a few minutes. And if you open the book of Isaiah, we'll read the first 4 verses there. So what we're at the beginning of a book that has 66 chapters in it. And this is how this book starts out. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. This helps us to understand when this book was written. It certainly helps. It makes a lot more sense when you know when it was written and what was going on at the times. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, central nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. So if you continue reading, you will hear a lot of this negativeness. I'll drop down to verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Now let me just drop on down to verse 18. So we can see that what the Lord was up against and why he was writing this book of Isaiah. His people were rebelling. And it was at a time that was very important to the Lord and the nation of Israel. And we read in verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's go over to the margin if you have a companion Bible and look at a couple of things here that are very important. That was verse 18, so let me read these things to you. Let us reason together equals let us put the matter right or settle the matter. And it's in Rotherham's version, he says, let's settle the dispute. Let me read on. It means the putting an end to all reasoning rather than an invitation to commence reasoning. So we often think of the idea of reasoning. Let's reason together that we're going to walk away with no problems here. But this says, let's settle this right now. I'm just giving you this long passage of what Israel was doing. Let's settle this. So this isn't a hunky-dory, hey, let's have a good time and get together and study the Bible, so to speak. This particular thing had meaning. And it's all associated. Everything directs you to the Word of God. Anything that we reason or dispute about better be in line with the Word of God. And if it gets out of hand, I think we need to memorize and remember what the fruits of the Spirit are. Spirit is. And that do with joy, peace, and et cetera, et cetera. And if you can say that you can stand in with another person and argue the Scriptures and show the fruit of the Spirit, then that is okay reasoning. But it has to be under those grounds. So, having said that, I want to look at a few passages of the way this word reasoning is used, and perhaps we'll finish this part of our study this week, and then we'll go into something more next week. So, I'm going to turn over to Mark chapter 12. And before we get into Mark chapter 12, I thought it was interesting. Every time you open a passage of Scripture, you need to look at the context. Context means, and that's what you do. If you're looking at this word reasoning, you really have to look at the context. And so in this case, I'm just going to dribble through Mark real quick here, Mark chapter 11. So this is the context building up to chapter 12. And if I go back to 11 and verse 15, it's interesting in that how Mark approached the Scriptures here, but he's taking you through part of the Lord's life, and I can't say for sure that it's always chronological. And I believe in the case of Matthew, it is not necessarily chronological. He takes subjects and puts them together and puts them in a certain order, but it's not necessarily chronologically correct. And you'll see that if you take Matthew, Mark, and Luke and compare these events, and you'll find out that there's a lot of events are duplicated and are not the same event, and they happen at another time. And the context tells you that. So anyway, in Mark chapter 11, if you look at verse 15, speaking of the Lord and his disciples, it says, "And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them and the doves and so forth." And without going into that passage, just drop down to verse 18 where that portion ends. "And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine." And so there we see he's confronted with the scribes and the chief priests. And let's go down to verse 27. "And they come again unto Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders." So this time, they bring in a little bit more ammunition, shall we say, to go up against the Lord. "And they say unto him, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority to do these things?" And he gives them an answer. He says, "I'll ask you one question. If you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I do these things." He says, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me." And they reasoned. Now, is this good reasoning or bad reasoning? "They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, then they feared the people, for for all men counted John, and he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you, but authority I do these things. So you can see, as we go through Mark 11 and 12, that we're building up to something. And so it continues here that he began to speak to them in parables. We're going to look at the parable here. But remember, when the Lord spoke in parables, it was not to be clear. It was hidden from those who were in disbelief. It was hidden to the scribes, and it was hidden to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth. But this is going to turn out, this passage is going to turn out pretty cool, I think. And so he speaks this parable, and we get down to verse, at the end of 10, he ends that by quoting scriptures, this parable. And have ye not, and you need to go back and read this parable so you can understand the next few verses, but we're not going to take that time. It says, and have not ye not read this scripture, the stone which is the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This way the Lord's doing, and this was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people. For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. And they said unto him, okay, so that's the end of that group, which consisted of scribes and chief priests. And in verse 13 we read, and they said unto him certain of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. So you can see what Mark is doing here. He keeps showing how these guys are trying to fight against the Lord and catch him at his own words or something wrong about it or something to that effect. And the Herodians were those who were partial to Herod, whether they were Jews or whatever. They were definitely not. They were on the side of the Pharisees and others. So notice they keep bringing in more ammunition here. And this time they said, when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, but thou regardest not, you remember this passage of scripture, I'm sure, not the person of men, but teach us the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And you know what the Lord did? He asked for a coin, and he showed him the coin, and he said in verse 17, Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. So even they had to marvel at him. So they've got these two groups were there against him. Now let's go to verse 18. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, and they ask him some questions here, and had to do with if a man died and left his wife, and we go through that story seven times and so forth. And then the Lord gives them an answer. And then he ends by this saying in verse 27, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Now in verse 28, we have one more that's going to come up against the law. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning, there's our word reasoning, together, and so this is, I think, the second time that reasoning together. We read in Isaiah chapter 1 that he said, come and reason together. Here this is the second time we find reasoning together in the scriptures. And perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him. So this guy's not necessarily a bad guy. When you think of the scribes, these guys had the PhDs and their masters and all that stuff, so to speak, as we describe them today. But when it came to the scriptures, they were supposed to be flawless. And so he comes to him, and he said, you answered well. He answered them well. Ask him, here's what he asked, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, and you almost have to chuckle, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him, and with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, wisely, prudently, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. So here was one who didn't think like a scribe or like the other scribes or the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Herodians. And he knew the scriptures well. And the Lord said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And you have to read all the four books of the gospel, the gospels himself, to see the full gist of what the kingdom of God was that was being taught at that time, and what it meant to the nation of Israel. So anyway, here we see in this passage of scripture a lot of reasoning, a lot of reasoning for the wrong reasons. And there was one who recognized and spoke from the scriptures. He gave his answers from the scriptures. And he gave good answers, and the Lord recognized that man. So, anyway, that's one way to speak, to look at these scriptures. So we got a little bit of time left. Let's do one more. Let's do this one. Here's a, this one turns into a positive one. This is Luke 24. And this is after the Lord, after the resurrection. And it would help us to actually read the whole chapter, but we don't have time, so we're going to do. We're going to start in verse 13. So if you go, if you look at the verses just before this, I believe some of the women, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James, and others, they had already been to the grave site, and Peter also had been there. And verse 13 is where we begin. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So they're going to start reasoning or talking together here. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, they communed and they reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden. There was a power over their eyes, kratos. This kratos is a Greek word for power. That they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and all rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he. Notice where the blame goes there, by the way. The chief priests and the rulers of Israel. We have, you remember when they did we saw the movie The Passion, I believe it was. And during that time in the news media or whatever, on the TV shows, there was much argument about who was to blame for the Lord's death. And they blamed the Romans, the Roman leaders, and Pilate, and they had arguments amongst the great authorities in the educational world on the Bible. And totally ignoring what is really going on here. That the Lord himself had control of his own life, for one thing, and that these things were definitely prophesied of and were and had to happen. And how verse 21, but we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So these guys were followers of the Lord because they knew something about this third day thing. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them, if you'll notice something, they're speaking a lot of things that are truth. So they're confused, but they are speaking truth for the most part here. And certain of them which were with us sent to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. This kind of goes along with our word when he said, O ye of little faith. And so he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe. And when I read something like this, I say, Barnabas, read this. This is about you. And so much in my life, much of the times I read the scriptures, I need to stop and think, is this, do I believe this? Do I really believe it? He says, did he believe all that the prophets have spoken? So the charge to us is, how much of the scriptures do we need to believe and to study and so forth, for this same thing to be applicable? And this had to do with the prophets. We'll note that, just as a sidebar, that the things that concern Christ and the church, which is his body, has nothing to do with Old Testament prophecy. It's a secret that's hidden. Let's read on. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That's a good question to ask. Didn't Messiah? Did you only read the part of the Bible that talked about him, he was going to come and save his people? Or did you read about the part that he had to suffer these things and before he could enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the same things concerning himself. Well, because of time's sake, I'm going to drop down to verse 38. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And by the way, he's at dinner now with some of the disciples. So forgive me for jumping over those passages. But he said, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts, reasons, arise in your heart? He's questioning disciples who knew him, who witnessed him dying on the cross, and now he's appearing to them. And you can imagine, if it was us, wouldn't we be confused here? And he says, why do reasonings arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not with joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He's going to prove to himself that this is God that came in the flesh. He gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. At this time in the ministry of the Lord, after his resurrection, and knowing that all the scriptures up now dealt specifically to the nation of Israel, he confirms that very thing here. The law, these things were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, the complete Old Testament scriptures. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. This is when reasoning is good, when our understanding is open. And I'm going to stop right there because we're out of time, but it's a beautiful passage. of scripture here when the Lord appeared to those, and it just makes me think, what would I have done in that situation? And I'm pretty sure I would have been doubtful. I would have had a lot of negative thought, not negative in one sense, but in the sense of lack of faith, would certainly been an issue that I would have had to deal with. So anyway, we're dealing with the mind. We're dealing with, in this particular case, reasoning. And it's in the context of faith, our personal faith, and how important that is to understand the scriptures. It's one thing to believe that the Lord has all the power in the world and the universe to do anything he wants and can take care of any issue. Where we lack, I believe, or at least I lack, faith is, will he do it? He says, a lot of places, he says he'll do it. And then, but then I question him. Okay, I know you can do it, but would you, well, you know, Lord, look, I haven't been that good. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons, I could look at my faith as a real issue. And yet, I think we get into the book of Romans and we start looking at the mind, particularly 5 through 8 of Romans, those chapters in particular, talks about the spiritual mind and the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, I'm sorry. And it talks about what has occurred between us and the Lord, what is finished, what we don't have to think about and dwell on, the things that we've done in our life, even day by day. And we need to focus on the fact that we're renewed daily. The old man dies, tomorrow morning wake up, you're renewed. You have a new opportunity that day to take these scriptures and let them work in life. Okay, I've gone too long. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, your faithfulness. You definitely are faithful in everything that you said that you do. And we need help with our faith. We need to believe you in all circumstances. And we thank you that you do allow us to, for the things that we do go through in our life that bring us closer to you. And we thank you for each of these fine believers here that we speak and enjoy your word with. And we look forward to how you will use this in our life. And we look especially to those who have great need, even in this moment that we pray. And we ask your hand upon that. And these things we thank you in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.